I got no means to show identification. I got no papers to show you what I am. You'll have to take me just the way that you found me. What's gone is gone, and I do not give a damn. Empty stomach, empty head. I got empty heart and empty bed. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't recall. I got no memory of anything at all. I don't remember. I don't recall. I got no memory of anything at all. So I thought of something else last night, Sam says, jumping on the bed next to Dean and sounding both way too casual and way too cheerful for whatever the heck it is in the morning. Still, it feels perfectly natural for Dean to crack his eyes open and say, "Yeah? What's that?" Like he and Sam have been doing this forever. And maybe that's it. Maybe they have. Maybe. Something else they can show you, even if I can't call a ghost. Sam's hair is damp. He's got yet another mug of coffee, the brown liquid slopping over the rim as he balances unsteadily on his knees. Dean reaches up and steadies the cup before he ends up with a lapful of coffee. "What's that?" he asks again. Sam looks sheepish and lowers himself to the mattress. Nervously, Dean gauges the distance between them and wonders if he should move, wonders if it will hurt Sam's feelings if he does. Sam sighs. "I can do things. I'm not sure I like where this is going." Sam rolls his eyes. "Dean, I haven't made a single move on you. I'm not going to make a move on you. I know. I probably shouldn't have told you about the dildo. About us." Sam looks down at the mug dwarfed between his hands. "I'm sorry." Dean shrugs, uncomfortable. It's the truth, right?" Sam's mouth twists and Dean can't see his eyes, but Sam's voice is a lot softer when he says, "Well, it was." Dean's fingernail scratches at a nub on the blanket. There's dirt under his nails, a punishable offense. Immediately he starts picking at it with his other hand before he remembers. There's no one to punish him anymore. "Anyway," Sam says, oblivious as his head comes back up. He meets Dean's eyes, and again Dean sees that there's something in them, but he's too thick to read it, other than a forced and manic bravado. "The point is, I can show you something else, something that's supernatural, even if it's not a ghost." "But I thought you were going to call a ghost." Sam shrugs. "I'm going to try, but that's better done at night." "Oh." That made sense. For a given value of sense. "So what's this other thing?" Sam grimaces. "Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not really good at this. I can finally sort of do it when I want to and grab whatever it is that I'm reaching for, but after that it's sort of a crapshoot and my head's going to hurt like a bitch." Dean shakes his head and spreads his hands. "Yeah. Still no idea what you're talking about, man." "Yeah, I know." Sam rubs the back of his neck. "I just think we should do this outside. Just in case, you know? And I might need your help getting back inside, depending on how bad the headache is." And Dean has to give it to Sam. This may be a line of grade A... he hesitates. Bullshit, but the kid knows how to peddle it. Because now Dean wants to know. "Yeah, sure," he says, swinging his legs out from under the blanket and scooting to the far edge. "Why not?" Sam smiles, bright and shining, and for a second, it's just like Dean's dream. There's snow on the back steps. Dean kicks it away while Sam sludges down and across the yard to put a handful of junk he'd brought outside with him onto a tree stump that's black and wet with age. "So..." Sam says, jogging back and leaning against the stair railing. "Am I just wasting my time here, or are you actually going to open up to the idea that maybe your Dr. Valeri is full of shit? Because I'm really not keen on the idea of busting the top of my head open just so you can call bullshit." Dean opens his arms. "I'm here, right?" All the cold air is cutting through his jacket, and he tucks his hands into his armpits again, huddling deeper into the coat. He wonders if he's got a hat somewhere to go with it. His ears are already freezing. Sam hasn't moved, and irritably, Dean flaps a hand at him. Come on, aren't you supposed to be amazing me here or something? Do whatever voodoo you're going to do. Sam's mouth twists a little, ironical, not irritated or sad, and he swats idly at Dean's direction without actually making contact. He turns his hand, and the white, thin sunlight gleams off the curve of his neck. He's sweating. Dean realizes Sam is really nervous, which is a little freaky, actually. Dean stomps his feet on the beat-down snow to encourage the blood to move through his half-frozen legs and waits for the show to start. Sam sighs and runs a hand over his head. It's not really effective because his cap holds the unkempt mop of hair down, but Dean doesn't think that's the point. Finally, and only because he can't take it anymore, Dean comes down the three creaking stairs and kind of slips his fingers through Sam's. It's not hand-holding. Hand-holding? I didn't. She grabbed me first. Is touching. Touching is a straight shot to the ECT room. Hand-holding is something you don't do with your brother. So it's not hand-holding. Sam's fingers are bitterly cold, and they close over Dean's right away as he glances sideways, startled. Then his mouth crooks a different smile, but one that Dean thinks he likes just as well. Sam squeezes for a second and then lets go, as if he senses Dean's growing discomfort and panic. Watch this, he says, and holds out his hand. The house looks like it was abandoned hastily. Sam had scavenged a very sketchy bottle of beer from the biology experiment that was currently masquerading as the refrigerator. It sits on the stump, a little taller than the other stuff that Sam deposited there. And when Sam puts out his hand, Dean sees it jerk and shiver and then just fly off the stump towards them. Dean says, "Heh," and Sam makes a different noise, soft and stifled. Dean darts a look back at him. Sam's chin dips and his eyes squint, making the sun lines carve deeper down into his cheeks. He's not looking, and the bottle is flying right at his head, and Dean has about a half second to think about it before he tackles Sam down into the snow. The cap shoots off the bottle in a hissing spray of stinking foam. A second later, the bottle itself shatters, and Dean ducks his head, throwing one arm over Sam and the other over the back of his neck. Smelly fermented beer and brown glass rain down over them in the snow in a soft patter. When it's over, Dean kneels up slowly and brushes glass off his sleeves. So, the exploding bottle. That was like... He considers. Okay, yeah, I don't know what that was like. Blow things up often? I said I only had limited control, Sam growls, sitting up a lot more carefully than even Dean had. He winces and digs the heel of his hand into his eye socket. Ugh, wouldn't have done it at all if you would just believe me. Ow. You okay? Yeah. Sam tries to push himself up from his sprawl in the snow and fails. His elbow collapses on him and almost pitches him face first into the broken glass all around them. Dean snatches a handful of Sam's jacket and hauls him back, his various and sundry bruises protesting as the muscles flex. Liar, Dean says, still hanging onto Sam's jacket. He gets his boots under him. Come on, Yuri, let's get you inside. Yuri? Sam blinks up at him, confused, as Dean tries to figure out how to get them both upright. Yeah, Yuri Geller. Bends spoons and stuff with his brain. You remember Yuri Geller and not your own damn brother? Sam demands, sounding halfway between pissed and hurt. He winces again, his free hand pressing against his temple this time. Fuck, that hurts. Well, Dean's sorry he brought it up now, his fingers going cold and tingly at the context he last heard the name. He remembers the lozenge holding his mouth open, his tongue down, and the things that looked like tiny bear traps that held his eyelids open and wide. He blinks the memory away and summons up a smile he prays doesn't look as wavery as he feels on the inside. Spoons. Far more useful than exploding beer any day. "I have a gun, you know," Sam says, as Dean fumbles them both to their feet. "Don't think I won't use..." Dean doesn't know what happens to his expression, but he feels his body go wooden, and the chill from his fingers blooms throughout his whole body. Sam looks immediately stricken. "Dean, I'm just kidding. You know that, right? You know I'm just joking around, don't you? I couldn't." "No," Dean says. His voice comes out flat and a little remote, and he's sort of proud of himself for that. It sounds strong. "Of course not." Sam pulls away from him, swaying on his feet, and reaches into his pocket for his pistol. Before Dean can pull away, Sam grabs his hand and tugs it forward, slapping the gun into Dean's palm. "Here, take it. Take it." "What am I supposed to do with it?" Dean thinks he should feel more secure with the gun in his hand, but mostly he feels that same thrumming sense of danger, panic, alarm, rising in him like a flood tide. Sam steadies himself on the banister, panting a little in sharp puffs of white. "Well, let's start off with what you're not supposed to do with it. Like, point it at me." He pushes Dean's arm aside a little bit. "Right, sorry." Sam nods. His eyes are watering, squinting, even though the day isn't that bright. "Okay, now, hold it. Just hold it. Let your hand get familiar with the weight of it. The feel." He wipes his eyes with his sleeve. Dean looks down at the firearm, his palms shifted to cradle the gun's butt. It's heavier than he thought it would be. It feels not good exactly, but somehow monumentous, like his hand has just been waiting for this. He turns his wrist, brings the gun up, and sights down the barrel. "Yes," Sam says. "Like that. Look at the stump." Dean's gaze shifts just in time to see something bright and fast dart up from the stump. His thumb flicks off the safety by reflex, the same with the sight and shoot. The gun sounds very loud in the stillness, echoing back flatly. It kicks, and he finds himself sort of flexing with it. The thing, which turns out to be a labelless can, falls back into the snow with a clunk and starts to bleed something that looks like clean peaches from the hole in its side. Dean turns to look at Sam, triumphant, only to see that Sam's collapsed on the steps, white and unconscious. Crap. It's after dark when Sam wakes up. He twitches hard, makes the same hurting, hurtful sound, and his eyes crack open slowly and carefully. He closes them again quickly and throws his arm over his face for good measure. "Ugh. You okay?" Sam's hand fumbles for the back of the couch, and he hauls himself up a little. "In the dark blue bag, there's, like, this blindfold thing. Please?" "Yeah." Dean gets up from the floor and blots his hands on his jeans. "Yeah, sure." The blindfold is clearly a homemade thing. Skin-soft flannel on one side and layers of pieced-together chamois on the other, and straps of the same. He brings it back to Sam and helps him tie it around his eyes. He also finds the cache of pills and bottled water amid the first aid supplies and brings them back, too. "Are you going to be okay?" Dean asks again. "Do we need to find you a doctor or something? Is there something else I should do?" "No." Sam reaches out and grabs Dean's wrist loosely. Dean finds it a little weird how he does that, even without looking. "I'll be fine in a couple hours. It's just hard." "Moving stuff with your brain?" Dean backs up a couple steps, pulls gently out of Sam's grip. "Yeah, guess so. Is it always like that?" Sam laughs and then winces right behind it. "Yeah, pretty much. I don't do it very often. I don't really know what to do with it, how to use it. We've been looking for a teacher for me, but... He shrugs. We haven't had a lot of time, or the best of luck. There's history there. Dean can hear it in between the words. He can hear it in everything Sam says to him, an unconscious assumption of time. Slowly, he edges back toward the sofa and sits on the floor again. How does it work? Sam snorts. I think I proved pretty definitely that it doesn't work. You know what I mean. Sam's smile falters. Don't know, really. I just... It's like a switch in my head, and sometimes I can turn it on, and sometimes... Sometimes the beer blows up. Dean smiles. Sam can't possibly see him through the blindfold, but he smiles back anyway. Hey, at least it wasn't good beer. I do have some priorities. Dean looks down at his hands, idly toying with his shoelaces. Or really, Sam's shoelaces. The right lace is frayed, and there's a little hole in the upper, where the sock peeks through. Dean frowns. I bought you these, he says slowly, hesitating over the knowledge. It flickers in his mind, weak and filmy like a soap bubble, and he's afraid to hold onto it too tight. Sam's face goes very still. Yeah, you did. A long time ago. I thought you got rid of them. It surprises him how easily Sam can go from scary killer to flustered and blushing. You gave them to me. Dean looks down at the shoes again. He's wrapped the laces so tight around his forefinger the chip is white. I don't remember everything they did to me, he admits, before he can change his mind about it. There are holes. Time I lost. Memories I can't get back. Sometimes they come back later. Sometimes they're just gone. I don't really miss them. His finger tingles as the blood rushes back into it. I mean, I can tell you the stories, what I remember. I wouldn't have asked you to tell me if I didn't think it would help, Sam says gently. Dean nods, then realizes Sam can't see it. I get that, he says slowly. This is the most I've talked in weeks. I don't know how to tell you what you want to know. Sam sighs, and his head falls back on the pillow, raising a small cloud of dust. It's okay, Dean. We'll figure it out. Sam naps, and Dean sits there. He thinks vaguely that there are things he should do, but he can't think of anything. Can't leave. He's already been through all of his things, and none of them seem to trigger anything. The only things that have seemed the least bit familiar are the oversized clown shoes on his feet and the gun. The gun. Dean reaches out and picks it up off the coffee table, gingerly. Like before, his hand adjusts automatically to grip it a certain way, lightly, skillfully. Dean chews his lip and looks at his hand as he angles the gun back and forth. Something itches at the back of his mind and he doesn't know what it is. Can't quite get there from here. Finally, he closes his eyes and lets go. His hands move. The clip drops into his other hand, heavy, slick. He puts it aside and shoots the chamber. Never leave one in the chamber unless you're looking to shoot your dick off, Dino. Dean hears the voice in his mind, male and amused, but he doesn't know where it comes from, who it belongs to. It takes him about 30 seconds to disassemble and reassemble the gun, eyes closed the whole time. And while he's doing it, when he opens his eyes afterwards and looks at the gun with something approaching awe, he feels that nervous hamster wheel running part of himself lie down and be still. A hunter, Dean? Really? A hunter? A hunter is someone who tracks and kills deer or turkeys. Someone with a license that goes out in his pickup truck and drinks too many beers and comes back and tells stories about the one that he almost caught. It isn't a A Ghostbuster, for heaven's sake. Hunter. He glances at Sam again, thinking of the ease and practice with which Sam holds his weapons, the unconscious and unselfconscious way he moves them with him from room to room, place to place, so that there's never a time when one's not in arm's reach. Hunter. It's our thing. The family business. Dean gets up and goes to get the guns that had come in with him, before Sam hid the Impala under the tree line and a layer of cut branches and snow. He wonders if his hands will remember them all. He finds a kit with them, gun oil, brushes, and rags, and the smell of it all hits him like one of Fiesel's low-down dirty gut punches. He brings it all back to the table, laying them out in neat rows, handguns and shotguns and rifles. In his sleep, Sam murmurs. Dean stills, but Sam doesn't sound upset or distressed, just oddly content. Sam's hand stretches out, the way it did in the bed, but this time it makes contact with Dean's shoulder, fingers curling over the bone. Sam makes a surprised little, under his breath and falls deeper into his dreams. Dean thinks about ducking out from under that light touch. Sometimes he's okay with it, and other times it just reminds him of the many, many things he wished he could forget. But other than the little nervous twist in his belly at the contact, he seems all right. Hunter, he thinks again, and goes back to the pile of shining metal in front of him. A sort of fury haunts her eyes, sadness dripping from the skin. Unharnessed in her thighs, she's moving closer in. Impossible to read, impossible to write. And now you understand why the feeling must be clean. She's in a trance. How do you know there's a ghost here to summon? Dean asks curiously, watching Sam put out the white candles that hiss slightly when lit and smell pleasantly of roses and honey. I don't. Sam chews his thumb as he eyes his setup on the table, which, aside from the fact that I've never actually done this before, is the problem. But he fusses with the emptied bottles they're using for candle holders, turning them so the labels are exactly straight in line with each other. Asher's Grove has a bad history. It's why we're here in the first place. Dean nods and perches one hip on the couch back. Is it dangerous? He's seen the scars that roadmap his body. He remembers Sam's touch. Catalog of how they'd all been acquired and when. Valerian, the staff, had, of course, insisted his wounds were all self-inflicted, but even at the time he knew that couldn't be true. He doesn't feel afraid, though. Just sort of amped up and curious. It's nice. Sparkling and bright, and worlds away from the fatigue dullness of the drugs. Sam shrugs. I'll take all the precautions I can. He gestures at the incomplete circle of salt around the table and chairs, and the second, larger and also unfinished, chalk circle around it. But most of the spells and stuff we know are for keeping spirits out, not inviting them in. And depending on what kind of spirit, Sam eyes the table worriedly again, moves their dad's journal to the other side of the table, straightens it, and then fiddles with the candles again. Then he looks up at Dean. Yeah, it could be dangerous. You think you feel secure enough with that thing to hit a ghost and not blow my head off? He nods toward the shotgun tilted against Dean's leg. Dean picks up the gun with a flourish and gives it an experimental twirl, enjoying again the weird sense of familiarity and comfort. Sure. Sam blows his breath out noisily. He still looks worried, but Dean doesn't think it's because of him. Okay. Okay, then. What time is it? Dean looks at Sam's watch, strapped around his wrist. 11:45. He pauses, his thumb rubbing over a scar in the rubberized grip of the shotgun's bolt. You know, you don't have to do this, Sam. Sam turns his head, surprised. You mean you believe me? About ghosts and werewolves and all that shit? The pause is barely noticeable. Dean's sort of proud of himself as he grins and shakes his head. No, not really. Not totally, but does it matter? I mean, we could just get out of here, pack up the car and go. What else am I going to do? Hang around here? Sam shakes his head. Dean, we can't leave, he says. Not until we know... until I can figure out a way to make you better. They did something to you to make you like this. Maybe I can reverse it, once I know what it is. Dean feels the warmth die out of him, the smile fall off his face. Maybe I can't be fixed, he points out dully. Maybe this is just who I am now, and you're stuck with me. Do you ever think about that? He doesn't really want to think about the third possibility. Free, but on his own, and the next thing, helpless, without even the memories of how to make do in everyday life. He wonders if he ever has held down a job, or gone to school, or done anything other than this crazy half-cocked shadow life. He wonders if he's ever had anything or anyone other than Sam. Just the thought of it, alone, makes his palms sweat and his neck crawl with chill. Not that he's going to tell Sam that. Dean, you're going to get your memory back, Sam says placidly, so stupidly, blindly confident that Dean sort of wants to smack him. We'll figure it all out. We always do. He sits down at the table and opens up the journal to a page marked with a bright purple sticky. Dean thinks Sam's hand looks a little unsteady, but that could just be the waver of candlelight, or even the last of his migraine. Sam looks up at him again, and his eyes are so dark, so steady, that Dean feels a little mesmerized. You ready? Dean blots his hand on his jeans, behind his thighs, where Sam won't see. Yeah, sure. Abracadabra and stuff. Oh, holy shit! Dean brings the gun up to bear, almost without being aware of it, fixated on the spectral shape of the... Oh, just say it, Dean. The ghost in front of him. Dean? Sam still sounds infuriatingly calm, and it irritates Dean again, but it also makes him loosen up on the trigger and stand down. He didn't expect a girl. He didn't expect a kid. Okay, the truth is, he didn't really expect anything at all, even though he thinks he was kind of wish-hoping for a ghost to appear. But he realizes now that he didn't think of ghosts like this. Something that used to be human. That used to be a child. The ritual itself had been almost laughably boring. The candles hissed. Holy water-soaked wicks, Sam said. And Sam read something in Latin. Dean's pretty pleased with himself for knowing it's Latin, even though he doesn't understand the words. And then burned a handful of herbs in a copper dish. Their smoke and their dusty sweet scent still lingers in the air, though, weirdly enough, there's a several-inch gap in the haze in all directions around the girl's ghost. It's kind of cool, if he lets himself think about it. One minute she hadn't been there, Dean fidgeting, and the next she had. Dean would say in the blink of an eye, except he knows damn well he hadn't blinked. She was, maybe 8, and wears a Green Day t-shirt and scuffed jeans. Dean can't obviously hear anything, but it seems to him that she buzzes, a subvocal hum that makes the bones in the backs of his ears hurt. She moves in stop-motion jump cuts as well, sliding restless and resentful in the space between the two circles, now closed. When Dean looks away from her, from the corner of his eye, it looks like she's screaming, her mouth an endless open pit of darkness. But when he looks at her full on, she only looks sad, pitiable. The skin at the back of Dean's neck crawls with goose flesh. Who are you? Dean whispers. Sam shakes his head. She won't. The ghost jerk sidles forward, vanishing and then reappearing at the edge of the chalk circle, looking out at Dean. It puts out its hand. For a minute, Dean thinks it's going to touch him, but then the edge of the chalk circle shimmers and crackles and the ghost palm smacks against it like a pane of glass. Both Dean and Sam flinch, and Dean starts to bring up the gun again. Girlish laughter echoes around the room. Dean relaxes his grip on the butt and bolt of the shotgun, and then resettles it more securely. His palms are sweaty, his throat's dry. When he glances across at Sam, still seated and safe inside the ring of salt, he sees Sam look tense and uncertain too, the ends of his hair curling up with perspiration and his fingers tense on the tabletop. "They took me down into the dark," the ghost says, though its lips don't move. "They took me down into the dark." Like an echo, dark, 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 and behind it that jittery, unfunny laugh. It looks at Dean with black, inhuman eyes. "You know," it says. "Sam," Dean says, his voice deepening, picking up an edge. "Yeah," Sam stammers, and looks back down at his journal. "Yeah." Another string of Latin, just as incomprehensible and ending in recito, recito. The candles flicker and the ghost really does scream this time, a piercing, hollow sound that hurts Dean's ears. Sam's, too, from the way he flinches and claps his hands over them. Dean doesn't dare take his hands off the shotgun long enough to cover his own. The windows rattle loudly in their frames and the door jumps and crashes against the lock. All the furniture outside the doubled circle starts to creak and groan and jitter, too, raising clouds of dust that glitter in the candlelight and make Dean sneeze. "They took me down into the dark," the ghost shrieks. Its hair, long, dark, and cut unevenly, moves and swirls, but counter to non-existent wind. The laughter gets louder, more cutting. Sam's voice rises, trying to cut over the noise, but even his deep voice can barely be heard. And then the door blows off its latch, and the wind is real. And it's blowing through the thin line of salt that's all that protects Sam from the ghost. "Sam!" Dean yells. Sam sees it at the same time, pushes back from the table hard, groping for the gun shoved into the back of his pants. The chair pitches over and Sam half falls, the gun skittering away. Sam scrambles backwards as the salt line breaks and the ghost vanishes. Dean takes a step forward. "Where?" "Dean, don't cross the chalk circle," Sam says tautly, still edging toward his gun. "It can't get you, and if you don't..." Sam doesn't manage to get more than his fingertips on the fallen gun before an unseen force shoves him hard. Sam falls on his back with a grunt. "Sam?" "Don't break the circle, Dean. Until you break the circle, it's still trapped." A second later, Sam gasps and arches, hands flying up, like there's something around his neck, choking him. His fingers flutter and grab onto nothing. "Sam!" Dean edges sideways around the circle's edge, brings up the shotgun. He wants to just shoot, make it stop, but there's nothing to shoot at. A flicker, black and white, like a photograph. The ghost reappears, both hands locked around Sam's throat, strangling. Dean doesn't even think about it. He shoots. The shotgun blast is deafening, shocking, and the gun kicks like a mule right in the socket of his shoulder. The ghost's laughter, mocking, gloating, turns again to one of those horrifying shrieks. Dean fires again, but it's already over. The ghost itself seems to almost fall apart. The wind dies. The rattling stops. There's still airflow from the open door, but nothing like the gale force winds from a moment ago. Dean crosses the chalk and smeared salt lines and drops to his knees, puts the gun aside. "Sam?" Sam is coughing, clutching his throat, but he nods. His eyes look red, weeping just enough to make droplets on his lashes. There's no reason for Dean to touch him, but he does it anyway, fisting his hand in Sam's shirt by his shoulder. He can feel the heat of Sam's skin through his knuckles. He can even feel the knock and drum of Sam's heart. "Sammy," he says, throat sore and feeling taut. Sam's eyes come up to Dean's a half second before his fingers knot in the neck of Dean's shirt. He tugs once, briefly, like he's going to pull Dean down to him. Then all at once he lets go, his hand flinching away like he's burned. Sam's eyes close and he shakes his head. Dean hears the apology as clear as if Sam had said it. "Sorry, sorry." It takes Dean a minute to fit it all together. It takes him another minute to kind of screw his courage up, but, as before, his hands seem to be way ahead of him in the memory department. Dean's thumb traces over Sam's bottom lip, the callus on the ball catching on dry skin. Sam's eyes flicker open, his lips part a little so that Dean can feel the warmth and dampness of his breath. His thumb pushes a little deeper, further, to find a wet silk line just inside Sam's mouth, and Sam lets him, tilting his head back a little. The line of his throat is exposed, shining with sweat. Sam swallows, and Dean watches his Adam's apple bob. Heat flickers in Dean's groin. "Your brother," a voice reminds him. "A stranger." "Sam." Dean guesses if he wasn't in the habit of doing stupid things, he never would have been put in the hospital in the first place. "You okay?" he asks Sam softly, and Sam nods again, Dean's thumb still pressed against into his mouth. Dean sighs and leans down. He means to be quick. He shouldn't be doing this at all, so he means to be fast, furtive, something he can deny later, or even right now. It's not even good exactly. The angle's all wrong and their teeth clack together. His tongue butts against Sam's, and it's not smooth or suave or practiced. It's clumsy, and it's awkward, and it's stupid, and Dean's shaking, and Sam is too, and then suddenly, either Sam twists his head or Dean shifts his, and it starts working. Oh, fuck. It starts working. Sam makes a sound, soft and kneading, and his hand comes up so that his fingertips are just brushing Dean's jaw. Like the need to touch outweighs his fear of doing so, but only by a tiny margin. Dean's hands tighten in Sam's shirt, pulling Sam up so that his back is supported on Dean's bent knee. Sam shivers, and slowly he touches Dean's cheek in that same light, hesitant way. Dean can feel each finger, separate and distinct, on his skin. When they break apart, Dean pulls back, eyes half-slitted and his mouth feeling loose and slutty. He licks his lips. Sam looks hungry, but he looks scared, too. And Dean gets it. "Okay," Dean says. "Ghosts. Now, can we never do that again?" Sam chokes a little in surprise, but then he laughs. This old familiar craving. I've been here before, this way of behaving. Don't know who the hell I'm saving anymore. Let it pass. Let it go. Let it leave. From the deepest place I grieve. This time I believe. And I let go. I can't let go of it, though it takes all the strength in me. And all the world can see I'm losing such a central part of me. I can't let go of it. You know I mean it. You know that I mean it. I recognize how much I've lost, but I cannot face the cost, because I love to be loved. Ghosts. Dean's shoulder, the funny one, aches. He rubs it reflexively and wonders if the arnica cream will help with this too, but mostly he thinks about the ghost, the sadness and anger in her voice when she said, "They took me down into the dark." He wonders what that means. He wonders why he feels like he knows. "Dean," Sam says, and Dean looks up. "I have something I want to say to you, and I want you to just be quiet and let me get it all out." "Okay." Dean sits down and grabs the edge of the mattress. He thinks this is it, the moment Sam tells him. I just can't do this, man. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go your own way, because I can't handle you when you're all brain damaged and not him. He looks down at his feet. The sock has been mended. He wiggles his big toe and watches the red thread flex against the white. It's not like he hasn't been expecting this. What's up? I'm sorry, Sam says. Dean looks up sharply, freezing in place like his ass has been glued down. I'm sorry it took me so long to get to you, to find you. I'm sorry it was too late. You thought I was dead, Dean points out, and Sam shakes his head. And you weren't too late. I was, and it's not... That's not good enough. I'm supposed to have all these powers. I'm supposed to fucking help people, and I couldn't even help my brother. I couldn't stop them from hurting you. He looks up at Dean through the messy fringe of his hair, and he looks just so young and miserable. When they told me you were dead, I just broke. Days where I couldn't do anything except lie in that stupid motel bed. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, because I was afraid of what I'd dream. I was afraid... Sam's hands are knotted together between his legs. They're white-knuckled, the skin pulled taut enough to split. I was afraid. Sam. He doesn't know what to say. He never really does. You came. What do you mean? You thought I was dead, but you came anyway. You found me, and you came to the hospital, and you got me out. That's the important thing. Sam's shaking his head again, more emphatic. Sam. He's stuck somewhere between wanting to smack Sam and wanting to do other things to him, show him that he's fine, that getting out, getting away is enough. And he knows Sam wants him. Or Sam wants Dean. And it's the same thing, and it's not, and Dean doesn't know how to reconcile that gap. He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember Sam, not really. And that doesn't make it all right, or sane, or a good thing. But he's tired. He's so very tired. And even if he doesn't remember Sam, Sam remembers him, and maybe that's enough. Maybe he can make that be enough. Just pour himself into this ready, waiting shape in Sam's mind and let it hold him up for a while. Until he remembers. Or until it feels like remembering. Dean moves to stand in the space between Sam's spread legs. Sam's face turns up to him and he leans back a little, giving Dean room. He looks tired, exhausted, but also a little at peace. Dean puts his hands on Sam's skin, which is just as warm as he thought it would be. Dean's thumbs sweep lightly across the curves of Sam's cheekbones, and he looks a question, or maybe a warning, into Sam's eyes. I'm not him. I can't be him. Sam's eyes shut in a flutter of dark lashes and then open again, unflinching. Between Dean's hands, he nods slightly, and Dean feels something flutter in his groin, hot and sugar-sweet. Given permission, Dean bends down to that wide mouth that opens to meet him. Sam's hands light on the sides of Dean's thighs, sliding over his hips and under his shirt to band around Dean's waist, almost wide enough to span it. Sam's thumbs roam circles over the flat muscles of Dean's belly, making it shake. Dean inhales and Sam opens wider, stretching up like he's going to crawl inside Dean through his mouth or devour him down. It's 0 to 60 from to oh sweet God, now. And when Sam's hands release him to pluck and pull at his belt, Dean sways unsupported. Dean slides his fingers into Sam's soft, long hair the way he'd been wanting to almost since they met, cradling the back of Sam's head between his hands. Sam grins through the kiss. Dean finds himself smiling back, and Sam tugs him down so that Dean has to slide his knees onto the mattress or fall. The kiss breaks. Sam sidles backwards, pushes Dean's jeans apart, and hooks his fingers in the waistband, and that of Dean's boxers to pull them down his thighs. Dean pulls his t-shirt over his head, tossing it somewhere behind him before falling on Sam's mouth again, sucking, biting, thrusting back and forth with and against Sam's tongue. One of Sam's hands squeezes the back of Dean's thigh rhythmically, while the fingers of the other tweak Dean's nipple, hard pressure pain that Dean didn't even know he was missing until Sam was doing it, forcing soft, longing moans from his mouth to Sam's. Sam pulls it back a little. My back, he says, looking up into Dean's face with something approaching shyness. Just run your hands down my back, along my spine. His breath hisses out and his eyes close when Dean does, head falling back, body bowing forward, in a sharp arch. Dean can feel the shuddering ripples that go through Sam at his touch. Sam keens softly against Dean's ear. He rakes his fingertips over the thin cotton layer of Sam's t-shirt. His cock paints wet, arcane shapes against Sam's front with every soft, instinctive push of his hips. God, God, like that. You have on too many clothes, Dean murmurs back, hooking his thumbs under the hem of Sam's shirt and tugging it up, letting his fingers drag after, against the goose-pebbled skin of Sam's back. He likes this trick. He likes it a lot. Almost as much as he's going to like seeing Sam naked. Sam ducks his head, letting Dean chuck the shirt over his hair, and then slips one hand familiarly between Dean's legs, hefting and stroking Dean's balls in ways that makes his knees go weak and his stomach tighten. Two fingers tease the base of his cock, stirring it to greater attention, which, up to that point, Dean hasn't thought was even possible. Sam. This is weird. This is weird. Feeling like he barely knows Sam, feeling awkward and out of place, and yet having his body played with this completely thoughtless ease that tells him, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Sam has done this to him, or this body, at any rate, before. Sam bites his way up Dean's shoulder and neck to the skin behind his ear, and the arm not working Dean's cock goes around Dean's waist, urging him down to the mattress as Sam lies back under him. There's some wrestling, getting Dean's jeans and boxers the rest of the way off, and getting Sam out of the rest of his clothes. Dean's mouth goes dry, seeing Sam bare-skinned, seeing the extent of Sam's desire in his half-lidded eyes, the bobbing red-tinged cock. For him. Sam's so hard, the tip wet, and more gathering at the slit. Dean runs his palm over it, less sexual than fascinated, but Sam bucks up into the light touch anyway, his hand closing over Dean's to curve around his dick and stroke. Want you, Sam says, low and growling. Want you so much, Dean. I've been missing you. Dean stiffens. Sam sees it right away, letting go of Dean's hand and sitting up. His hand hovers at Dean's shoulder awkwardly, like he wants to touch but isn't sure if he can or should. For a moment, and despite the urgent vote of his dick, which is feeling very unfairly unloved, Dean's not sure either. I'm sorry, Dean. Dean shakes his head. This can be complicated. It already is ridiculously complicated, but he doesn't want it to be. He's tired of complicated. And yeah, it's weird and possibly really fucking perverted and all that, but it's also really hot and pretty nice to be touched by someone who's only trying to make him feel good. So, to hell with complicated. He can do complicated later. It's okay, he says, and reaches for Sam's cock again, surer this time. Sam's hand closes over his wrist and Sam's eyes search his. Then, apparently okay with whatever he sees, Sam lets go. I don't know what you like, Dean says. It's harder to say than he thought it would be, which is pretty hard, his throat closing up with the same frustrated helplessness of can't remember, should remember. Why can't I remember? Sam smiles, and it's not his sympathetic smile or his guilty smile or anything but this happy grin that makes Dean's shoulders relax and pushes the corners of his own mouth up in response. Dean's dick seems to like it just fine too, knocking against his belly like it doesn't already have his attention. Maybe it's just glad to be up and around again. Dean thinks he's pretty glad about it too. Jesus, Dean, look at me, Sam says. Pretty much anything you want to do. Dean's hand tightens involuntarily, his thumb strokes hard against the head of Sam's cock. Sam's head falls back, his groan soft and drawn out. His hand closes over Dean's forearm, squeezing. I just want your hands on me. Dean presses against Sam, licking his tongue between Sam's lips again, dipping in when Sam opens and angles to seal their mouths together. And Sam's leg is wrapping around his hip, and Sam's hand is gripping the back of his neck hard enough to bruise, and his fingers are digging into Dean's back, dragging Dean closer and closer into him. Dean has zero problems with the plan of action. Sam, Dean mumbles into that hot, smooth skin, dotted with tiny moles, almost like his own skin is dotted with freckles. Sammy. It's right that time. He can tell even before Sam gasps and thrusts hard into the circle of Dean's fist. Sam's hand creeps down to the curve of Dean's ass, slipping between to finger over him, a touch that zips cold, hot, and electric up and down every nerve ending Dean's got. I want to fuck you, Sam whispers, tongue darting into the dip above Dean's upper lip before he nips, teeth sharp like a fox's. Fuck, Dean. Can I? Can we? His fingertip slides in, just a little, careful and slow, and that's weird. A whole lot weirder than kissing and grinding against another guy. A guy that's supposed to be your brother, but what's strangest of all is that it's not that weird at the same time. A feeling almost familiar. A feeling that's pretty awesome while he's at it. Your family's worried about you, Dean. About your appetites. There's a proper time and place and way for that sort of thing, and that's part of what you're going to learn here. Shut up, you don't know me. You just made it all up. Yeah, he says, not sure whether to wriggle back on that intruding finger or not. Okay, sure. Saying yes, it seems, is a lot easier than getting to the actual fucking, which seems to take a lot more preparation than Dean signed up for, between getting the bottle of oil from its hiding place in his luggage, and the rearrangement of their bodies, and the slicking up of Sam's fingers, and the hard, rigid length of his cock. Turned on his side, feeling awkward and sort of annoyingly virginal, Dean is irritated and impatient, up to the point that Sam curls halfway around him, pressing his tongue into Dean's mouth, and pressing his fingers into Dean elsewhere, skidding deftly over something in Dean that makes him whine really embarrassingly, and try to drive himself backward and more firmly onto those impaling fingers. Oh, hell yes. Wait, Sam murmurs, his broad palm cupped across Dean's ass. Sam bites his jaw in that really good spot on his neck, sucks a little so it throbs, warm and pulsing. Dean's whine deepens, becoming a moan. Wait, let me make it good for you, Dean. He crooks across that spot again, and Dean's dick starts weeping like the baby Jesus while Dean tries to rub two brain cells together in something resembling a thought. They did this. Used to do this all the time. Like, any time they wanted. How the hell did they ever get anything else done? How can he not remember this? Sam, he bleats, strangled and sort of panicked because he isn't sure how much more of this he can take, but he suspects Sam's going to show him in excruciating detail. Sammy. Again, Sam's nose touches the back of Dean's neck, his hoarse, panting breaths puffing right past Dean's sweating shoulder. Please, say it again. His fingers slide in and out, steadily rocking over and past the sweet spot until Dean's whole body undulates to the same rhythm. Anything you want me to say. Sammy, he repeats, in his newly discovered right inflection. He arches his back and reaches over his shoulder to dig a hand into the damp and heated tangle of Sam's hair. Sammy, God, Sammy, please. Yeah. Sam's voice deepens in a way that makes shudders run up from Dean's toes, and on the next stroke there's another finger in Dean, stretching him wider. Sam's knee nudges Dean's thigh, pushing his leg forward and canting Dean's hip, so Sam can spread him further, fuck him deeper. The teeth are back on Dean's neck and shoulder, the skin soothed momentarily by the soft swipe of Sam's tongue and then chewed again. Dean's going to be wearing Sam's marks tomorrow, like fucking jewelry. And why... God, why is that so hot? Yeah, Dean. God, Dean. Dean. And just like the variations between Sam and Sammy, Dean hears the difference in the way Sam says his name from how anyone else does. It's not a memory, exactly, but he knows. He knows this is theirs and theirs alone. Dean lets go of Sam's head and grabs a handful of taut-muscled flank instead, bringing Sam up against him. Sam shudders again, a ripple Dean feels all along his own body. They're so tightly wrapped around each other. Come on, he says, impatient again over the thin frost of fear and a wide, deep river of, oh yeah, right now. Gonna fuck you now, Sam whispers between bites. God, need to. His fingers slowly leave Dean's body and Dean whimpers in protest. One wet lick around his earlobe and the sound of more lube being squeezed from the bottle. Then Sam's cock is pressing against him, and Sam's hand, sticky, wet, is wrapping around his dick, sliding slick and sure-handed from his balls to the head. Dean can't help it. His back arches, pushing his hips, his cock, into that tight, knowing grip. This is what you like, Sam tells him in that drawling, slow sex voice that makes it hard to even pay attention to the words. His thumb toys with the slit of Dean's cock, circling and dragging it, then moving away to tease the ridge, the vein on the underside. Then back to the head. Dean feels like his whole being is centered on wherever Sam's thumb is, unable to process anything but that touch. So intense, so keenly aware of everything that makes Dean clench and whine. This is how you like to be touched, stroked, when I do this. Dean's heels dig against Sam's shin, his fingers dig into Sam's hip hard, and he'll never admit the sound that comes out of his mouth to any living creature. God. God. Sam is a genius. A bona fide genius. Sam shifts a little, and Dean feels the head of his cock again, pushing against Dean's ass. Dean wants to open himself and take Sam into him. It's all he can think about, other than the maddening, teasing slip-glide of Sam's hand over him and the gutter-filthy whisper of his voice in Dean's ear, telling Dean what he likes and how. And he's not wrong. Everything he does, every whisper, every touch, keeps pushing Dean further, making him burn hotter, until he thinks maybe there's nothing at the end but a smear of ash on scorched sheets. Then Sam murmurs, "This is going to hurt. Breathe." And his fist starts to move faster as he shifts and pushes. Oh God. Oh God. It does hurt. But Sam's hand on his dick keeps distracting him, and Dean pinballs back and forth between pleasure, pain, until he can't separate them. And he isn't sure he wants to, and Sam is sliding, and Sam is snugged inside him so deep he can feel Sam's balls against his ass cheeks. Sam. Sammy. I know. Sam's shaking, still in him, letting Dean deal with the feeling of, oh God, too full, and, oh God, too much. His arm snakes under Dean, and across Dean's chest, holding Dean against him. He slows on Dean's dick, reaching to cup Dean's balls, rolling them between his fingers. Dean's head arches backward to Sam's shoulder. I know, Dean. It... Just let me. It'll be good again, I promise. Dean just shakes his head beyond being able to answer in anything approaching words. It's already good. He pushes back, feeling Sam sink just that little bit deeper, and they groan in something like tandem. Sam takes the hint, his hips rocking against Dean's. His knee pushes Dean's leg again, urging Dean half onto his stomach. The change of position puts the head of Sam's cock right over the same spot as before, and Dean cries out, burying his face and clenching his fists in the bedspread. Nobody, Sam says, his voice shaking with growing urgency. Nobody but me has ever been here like this, inside you like this. Only me. Only me. Dean shivers, and his whole body jerks. Sam slides deeper still, and it feels like there's no space inside him that's not filled up with Sam. Dean, Sam moans, and it sounds broken and trembling, full of the same something that Dean sees whenever Sam looks at him. God, Dean, I'm sorry. I can't. His arm tightens, welding Dean back against him, and his thrusts pick up speed, hip bones slamming against Dean, his cock returning again and again in Dean to touch off explosive chain reactions of syrup-thick pleasure. But that's okay. Dean's just fine with it, and all he can really manage is a choked and strangled, yes, but it burns its way out of him on each push. An endless string of yes, 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 Sammy, yes. Sam goes first, a loud, heartbroken, almost scream, and sudden wet heat within that slicks the way even more, even better, so that it's only a second before Dean follows, shaking and crying and utterly mindless other than now, yes, now. Slower now, and then just slow. Languid butterfly thrusts, while Sam softens and shrinks, and Dean remembers how to breathe. Sam's mouth drifts over his skin, gentler, sloppy, just wet presses of lips and tongue. His arms are around Dean, leaving no space between them, only a tangle of bones and skin, and it's warm and comfortable and good. Dean breathes, eyes closed, content to just have this. Thank you, Sam whispers, almost below the threshold of hearing. His fingers stroke Dean's pectoral, just over his heart. Dean tries to nod, but he doesn't know if he quite makes it before sleep swallows him up in arms nearly as warm as Sam's.